May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, friends, it feels like forever since I've been up here, and I've missed you from this view. Our lectionary readings today remind us who we are, whose we are, who we are called to be, and what we are called to do. And we turn our attention to the one who has brought the kingdom of God here, in the beginning and here, in this time and place. And so we first turn to the gospel reading in Mark, where we find ourselves in the midst of the conversation between the scribes and Jesus. Well, it might actually be more of an interrogation of sorts, as they are trying to trip Jesus up with the questions they are asking. But in this conversation, something is a little different. This particular scribe has been listening to the answers, or often those that seem more like riddles, when Jesus responds. And the scribe was interested to learn more. So the intention behind his question is very different. There seems to be a genuine interest in Jesus and what his answers might be. And I think Jesus could sense this as well. The scribe asked, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" What would it be like to just stop here for a moment and really take this in? First, with this real heart-to-heart moment with the scribe and Jesus. The scribe asking and Jesus answering. And then to wonder, what does it mean to truly love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Often there is a disconnect between these parts of ourselves, and even sometimes there is conflict between these parts. Our hearts can be feeling or sensing something, but our minds are not in agreement. Our minds are fixed on something, but our gut tells us different. Our bodies are not as strong as we'd like them to be, or they are stronger than we think them to be. We hold our bodies back, and we are held back by our bodies. Our minds and our bodies stay very busy, but our hearts and our souls long for rest. We give our bodies and our strength too much rest, and our hearts and minds long for some connection and exploration again. And so we find ourselves in one big mess. And we also get caught in the often asked question, how can we love God fully? Or how can we love our neighbor if we can't love ourselves? But maybe when we put ourselves first in the commandment, everything else gets twisted up. What if to first loving God with our heart, mind, soul, and strength widens our capacity to love our neighbors as ourselves? Entering into the love of God expands our desire for love, mercy, truth, justice, and grace for ourselves and for those God has given us the eyes to see as friend, as enemy, as stranger in need. To me, and maybe to you, these commandments can seem daunting, can seem even impossible at times, and we are left with more questions or more objections to just simply living them out. But this didn't seem to be the case for the scribe as he asked Jesus the question. He had no objections to Jesus' answer. He had no need to trick him with a follow-up question. He simply said, "You are right. These are the two greatest commandments, And this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Not only did he agree with Jesus, he even confirmed further of the importance of the commandments and how they fulfill that of the law without the need for burnt offerings or blood sacrifices. Jesus was that final fulfillment. And yet, in many ways, offerings and sacrifices are still needed, but in a different way, or in a way that has always been present in the followers of the Lord right from the very beginning. In our first reading of the story of Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth, I think about the steadfast love that these three women have for each other. The willingness for the two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth, to set out on the journey with their mother-in-law, Naomi. It would be a return to the land and faith tradition of Naomi, but a new everything for Orpah and Ruth. On one level, what love and trust would it have taken for Naomi to suggest they leave her to her journey alone? To give them the freedom and possibility of finding new husbands, which in that time was the only guarantee of a home, of provision, of rights. It seemed that Naomi's trust in the Lord was so great that she trusted that the Lord would provide for her on her own. But her love for her daughter-in-laws did want to put them in such a position where so much risk was involved. It was tradition and marriage law that would have kept them with each other, daughter-in-laws taking care of mother-in-law. But it was love that released them from that bind. She did not want to leave them in such a widowed state. She wanted them to have the opportunity for the protection that a new marriage would grant them. There is no commandment greater than these, to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Except this might not have been the exact intention of Naomi. Her love was real, but her plea is somewhat reminiscent of Job. She suggests the daughter-in-laws turn back because it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me. There is a bitterness in her voice as she remembers how the Lord has failed her and left her in such a state. Could this remind us of all the times that we have not been able to accept the love or the help that has been offered because we couldn't see through the bitterness or the guilt or the shame or the pride? Each of those moments that kept us from receiving the love of God in human and heavenly form. Yet the scribe knew and Ruth knew that the love of God and the being loved by God burns away that which the author of Hebrews calls dead works, so that we might worship and love the living God in a new way. And what might a new way look like? Well, for Orpah, it did mean making the heartbreaking decision to walk away from the ties and the traditions and the love that would have kept her bound to Naomi. But sometimes staying does go against the heart of God. Orpah's call was to go. And sometimes staying or entering brings us closer to the heart of God. And it was Ruth's call to stay, despite Naomi's insistence that she goes away as well. But as we hear Ruth's response, listen for the echo of the greatest commandments. Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me and more as well, even if death parts me from you. This is the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Where Naomi went, so too would Ruth follow. Where we go, so too will those who the Lord has called to bring that love to us. And so too will we be called to follow those whom the Lord has called us to love as we love ourselves. But may it always be remembered that we follow because of the one who leads. And so, my friends, there might be bitter receptions of "leave me to my misery," or reactions of "no, I can do this all by myself," or responses of "I don't deserve such care" from our neighbors or even from ourselves. But may we freely offer and may we freely receive. For there we will be, as Jesus told the scribe, not far from the kingdom of God. And here in this time and place, may we know that the living God is not far from us and working through us in heart and soul and mind and strength this day and always. Amen.